Hi, sure. This week has been really warm weather-wise. For a moment, I thought, wow, I'm in Africa. But in the auditorium this afternoon, when I'm recording this, it's actually really quite toasty. I try to contain the traffic noise outside by closing the windows. But yeah, let's get straight into the word this morning. And can we pray? Father, I want to thank you for your word. You watch over it to see that it achieves that which you send it forth to. And I want to thank you that it's precious and it's so powerful. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be wholly acceptable to you, my Lord and my God, my rock and my redeemer. I want to thank you, Lord, for your word is a sharp two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging even the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. And Lord, it's also a powerful thing like a hammer that can break open even the hardest hearts. And God, let our hearts be turned over this morning. And we welcome your Holy Spirit to minister to us, comfort us with the scriptures if necessary, convict us, challenge us, change us, conform us to your likeness, transform us to be more like you. And I ask this all in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, we're starting a new series this morning, and it's going to be called From Surviving to Thriving. I suppose we could have called it From Lockdown to Liftoff, but just really sense that God wants us to go on in Him and be made strong and whole and mature. And that's part and parcel of being more than a conqueror. And are we truly more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? I believe we are. We're overcomers in Him who died for us and was raised from the dead so that we could have life in our physical mortal bodies. And so as the Christian community, we're described as the people of hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We carry that hope. And Christianity is so much more than a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And you would know, as so would I, that the foundation of any healthy relationship is healthy communication. And so when I get this far-off look in my eyes that happens occasionally, and I'm in my nothing box, Bibi would say to me, "What are you thinking about?" Nothing in particular. But she knows that, and as do I, that the better the communication or the healthier the communication, the healthier the relationship will be. And that's why, just a little tip, if you're out on a date with your wife or with friends, please put your phones away so that you can engage and have meaningful communication. And so we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, what constitutes a healthy church and made up of healthy Christians? Well, they devoted themselves to certain things, to the apostles' teaching, the word of God. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to the fellowship and to prayer. And so God speaks to us in many ways, but primarily it's through His word, the Bible. And it tells us, in short, who God is, how He acts, what He expects of us. And so this morning we're going to focus on that, God's word. And it's something we call to be devoted to as a firm foundation on which we can build our lives. The solid ground on which we stand, all else is sinking sand. And so, as born-again believers, the Bible is the word of God. It's the final authority for what we believe and how we to live. And it's the absolute and ultimate standard for every area of life. It's that which we build our lives on. And so Psalm 19, I would encourage you to highlight this, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It's verse 7 to verse 11. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving or refreshing the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commands of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. And reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. And they are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. You see, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He could have just demolished the enemy and obliterated him, but he said, "It is written," and he quoted scripture. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And even when he taught his disciples to pray, part of that prayer was "Give us our daily bread." And was that just surviving on daily bread, physical bread? I think it was so much more than that. God wanted them to thrive spiritually on spiritual sustenance, on soul sustenance. And that's why in Job, it says, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Friends, in valuing God's word more than food, Job, he set us an example to follow. I love to think of this thing, the Bible before breakfast or before brunch or before we feed our physical bodies, let's feed our spiritual bodies. And before we even look at our phones, breaking news or media updates, let's feed our spiritual man. And Isaiah said the following, and he said, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." Friends, the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. In the words of a king's song, a kid's song, not a king's song, it is a king's song too. "Read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow." And as we grow in our knowledge of the Bible, we'll also grow in our knowledge of God and be transformed more and more into his likeness. So friends, the Bible is the most powerful, or the most powerful and the most precious book in the world. Firstly, the most popular. It is the bestseller by far. No comparison. Doesn't even get included in the lists anymore because it just outstrips everything over all time. And secondly, it's powerful. You know, when you look at God spoke in Genesis, God simply spoke. "Let there be light." Was it a booming voice or was it a whisper? God spoke and everything in creation came to be. His word is powerful. His word is powerful in his mouth and his word is powerful in your mouth. So when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're fearful and you're anxious and you're saying, "God, what do I say? What do I do? I'm thinking of this and thinking of that and I can't." Just hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to the truth, the anchor. When you find that the enemy's crouching at the door and he's assailing you with doubt and unbelief and lies and accusations, you can at that moment say, "Be still, be silent," and quote scripture. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee. What happens when people want you to celebrate their sin, or they blaspheme in front of you, or they show you porn on their phones, or whatever distressing thing comes your way? Hold fast to the truth of God. You see, the word of God is powerful. And for me, the best example for my life was once ministering with a team on the streets of Durban, and the enemy doesn't like that. And there was a little bit of opposition that he stirred up with some gangs that started to look and size each other up, and the girls started to pass pocket knives to the guys, and I could see it happening. It was almost like in slow motion, and I felt prompted to get up on a concrete bollard, and I just started to preach. For the life of me, I don't know what I preached. But the word of God was powerful. It changed the atmosphere. It just, the gangs backed down and yes, they dissolved and dissipated. But I just realized. And so that's why Jesus simply quoted, "It is written. It is written." And then thirdly, the word of God is precious. Thank God for the Gideons. These little Gideon's Bible was one of the first Bibles I was given. And it was precious. I still have it. But it was a gift to me. And I want to thank God for that and for other translators who've labored tirelessly to translate the scriptures into our language. Tyndale was one of them. You know, William Tyndale, he died at the age of 42, a martyr. He gave his life to translate these scriptures that you hold so lightly, or we hold so lightly, that even could be gathering dust on our bookshelves. He died so that it could be in the hands of a plowman, that they would know the word of God even better than the religious people of the day. The Bible is precious, friends. Hebrews 11, the forerunners of faith. I want to encourage you to read biographies of missionaries and other giants of the faith. They will build you up. They'll give you great gunpowder for your souls. It will just fortify your faith. You see, the Bible is a collection of books by over 40 authors over a period of around 1600 years, and it's unparalleled in its narrative of this cosmic rescue. The Bible claims to be divinely inspired, God breathed. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. And it's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. And it corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. The Bible is a perfect mirror, and it shows us what's wrong, but it's also able to do cosmetic surgery on us, changing us, correcting us, and bringing us into a state that's more and more like the Lord. Let's look into that mirror more than any other. Let's spend time in front of that mirror more than any other, because you'll know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. The truth also will sanctify you. And Rick Warren had the following to say, reading the Bible generates life. It produces change. It heals hurt. It builds character. It transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. It releases power, and it cleanses the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. And in this country and many other countries, friends, there's a famine of God's word. Think about it for a moment. When was the last time you heard God's word quoted in a hallowed hall of learning or uni or wherever, or even in mainstream media? No. If anything, it's mocked. It's the object of derision, and it's used to try and trip politicians up. And you know, in biblical times, Egypt was, and indeed the known world, was in a time of great famine. But God prepared a Joseph to bring about a great deliverance. And I believe God's looking for Josephs who have stored up the pure seed of God's word, the pure grain of the word of the Lord, to distribute to the hungry. Have you hidden God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him? That's how we keep our way pure, by living according to his words. That's why Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:7. Sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. Sanctify them to live in accordance with the truth, to live according to that truth. Many are starving to hear what the Lord is saying right now. And out there is a lot of toxic teaching, a lot of end time emphasis that takes our eyes off Jesus and the purity of the word of God. But you see, the word of God gives us great gems. Acts 17 verse 11 is one of those. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures to see, every day, to see if what Paul said was true. The Bereans were described as noble because they searched the internet? No! They didn't Google search. They searched the scriptures. They searched the word of God to see if it were so. They were looking to the Old Testament as their final authority for clarity, for understanding. Friends, we have both the Old and the New Testaments, and this is a pattern for believers. The instructor's manual, the handbook, the one who made us, gave us a manual for life, for even for unbelievers to look to. Go to the Word of God. Come under the Word of God. It's the final authority. The Word of God. We don't elevate ourselves over the Word of God. We don't look down upon the Word of God. We put ourselves under the Word of God. Not popular culture, friends. We don't come under popular culture or the world's view of what secular humanistic thinking. We don't come under that. And in Romans 15 verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. God's promises are unbreakable, therefore our hope is unshakable. And Psalm 119:89 tells us, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Heaven and earth, friends, will pass away, but God's word will remain. God's word is unfailing, along with his love and his name. God is an unchanging God, and his word is an unchanging word. And Jesus gave us examples to illustrate what it means to hear and do his word, to do his words and to hear and not do them. So he gave us this example, this parable in Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. And in the Message translation, it puts it this way. Why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing that I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. And if you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. And when the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. That's sad, friends. In the words of a children's song, don't build your house on a sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might be kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice, and you'll have to build it once more. You've got to build your house upon the rock, a firm foundation on a solid spot. Well, the storms may come and go, but the peace of God, you'll know. The peace of God, you'll know. Wow. Peace in the heart. Peace in the heart. Perfect peace whose mind is set on you because they trust in you. Trust in your unfailing word. You see, friends, in today's uncertain world, storms will arise that test your faith. COVID-19 has been such a storm. Health and wealth have been tested. Safe and security has been put to the test. At times, even the winds and waves of popular culture will roll in and seek to erode your confidence in God and his word. And without a firm foundation and the truth of God's word, you may be tempted to just go with the flow, be blown off course by some weird winds of doctrine and accept less than God's best for you. And that's why Paul exhorted young Timothy to watch his life and doctrine closely and to persevere in them. Look to the fathers of the faith. Look to those who've gone before and what they held to and how they finished and whether they finished strong. You see, without the solid rock on which we stand, all else will be sinking sand. What's your source? What's your supply? What's my source and supply? On whose hands am I in? On whose hands are you in? Who's your healer? And when you hear God's words, receive them, put them into practice, and you'll find that you establish a life storms cannot shake because it was well built. We can confess things, but apart from obedience, it's worthless. We've got to be building on the solid rock, the solid foundation of God's word. And you see, the Bible is God's word, is written to be obeyed, to be used as the rule of life and as the final arbiter in the matters of what we believe and how we should live. And we can expect the same spirit that inspired it to speak through it to us today. And if we love and cherish God's word, it will guide us and guard us from shipwrecking our faith, and our lives will be led into freedom and fulfillment. When you see the truth, you see, when it comes to truth, we can see it, we can recognize it, just for example. But is it mine? No. Is it truly mine? No, not yet. I might even believe it. I might say, yes, the truth, I see it, I recognize it, I'm looking at it. But, I might even embrace it, not only see it, believe it and embrace it, but I might even preach it and tell others about it. But is it truly mine? I could even be living that truth and walking in it. But walking the talk, putting my money where my mouth is. But it's only under pressure. It's only under pressure that I'll truly know that if that truth is mine, if I stand on it, I can say I believe in God as my healer. But when I'm under the pressure, do I turn to God first to heal me? I believe in giving and tithing. But when I'm under pressure, do I trust in God You see, when something's under pressure, what's inside will come out. And this tube of cream, if I can say whatever I want is in there, but I know when it's under pressure, what's inside will come out. And so when we give God the place that he truly deserves in his word, and we give the word its true place in our hearts, we will honor Christ and we'll grow spiritually strong. Let's invite God to speak to us as though it were a personal love letter from him to us. Let it guide us in our decision-making and formalize our lives, our lifestyles. Let it change us. Let us come to know the central person and the theme of all scripture, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And what a precious privilege it is to read God's word in our own language. And we're invited not only to read the scriptures, but to know the author. And friends, if you're joining us this morning and you don't yet know the author, in essence, you're saying, I want to know the author. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Ask God to speak to you through his word this morning. And even turn to that scripture. I would encourage you to start with the Gospel of John. Start there and say, God, speak to me. If you're real, show yourself to me. That's a prayer God loves to answer. Can we pray? Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are the living word of God. I want to thank you that we can know that truth and that truth will set us free. And whom you set free will be free indeed. Thank you that your word is so powerful, it's so precious, and it is so popular, Lord. Thank you. And I thank you that you want to minister your word into our hearts deeply. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we can hide that word in our hearts, that we may not sin against you, that we cherish that word this morning, that we may walk in purity, because truly your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that word this morning. It brings life, it brings light, it brings freedom. And it brings eternal life as we respond to the truth that it contains. In Jesus' name, amen.